This is Greg Tingle reporting for Media Man Australia. We're speaking to one of the, I would say, living legends of Australian professional wrestling. We're speaking to Sue Sexton, who now resides in the United States. Welcome to the program, Sue.
Hey, Greg. How are you,
dear? I'm good. It's great to be speaking with you today. So, Sue, you've had a fantastic career in the world of wrestling in the women's division, and I know you've dealt with blokes so as well in this business. So how did it all begin for you in Western Australia all those years ago to the status you now enjoy?
My family used to watch the wrestling all the time, and I went to matches at Perry Lake Stadium, and they had an ad on the side of the ring for a wrestling club, and I just went down and joined, and I was the only girl, and it was happened to be at the annex of my church in Carlisle.
So it sort of, it got your interest?
Yeah, well, I was already interested in wrestling. I never thought I could learn.
Right.
Because you didn't think it was available to you.
Yes.
And I just started learning at the local boys' club.
Right, and so you trained with a few people, including Ali Musa. What sort of student were you, and what sort of teacher was he?
Oh, he was an amazing teacher because he was old school.
Yep.
You know, and he didn't teach me like a girl. He just taught me like one of those guys, which means I learnt the holds really well.
Yes.
And I think I was a good student. I mean, I'd been riding and breaking in horses since I was seven, so
yeah.
I was pretty tough.
Yes. Great, and so how long were you in Western Australia and just in Australia in general before you decided to head off for the United States?
I had my 21st birthday in L.A.
Yep.
So I was there until I was 20.
Yes. How many matches did you get while you were still in Australia?
I only had one in Perth because women weren't allowed to wrestle in Perth. I had to actually go find another girl for me to wrestle.
Yeah.
And when I went to Sydney, I went on the road and I was touring with Kilakau Cox and Spiros Orion and Bruce Bernard and Skull Murphy and Ray O'Donnell with Kabuki and Georgie Barnes.
Yes.
And I toured with them for a few weeks before Bobby Shane got me a gig to come to the States.
Great. So you've probably got some magnificent tales of the road on Australia, but you might have possibly more stories than actual wrestling matches in Australia, but you've had hundreds, if not, well, many hundreds of matches there in the United States.
In the States and in Japan.
Okay. So what countries and opponents would you consider some of the main highlights of your career?
Well, Japan was a big influence because it was like the first place I went to really fight professionally. When I came to America, I kind of trained with Mildred Burt for a long time. I ended up training a lot of her girls because she really didn't have anyone to train them and she couldn't get in the ring anymore.
Yes.
And she was, right then, her gimmick was to ship people out to Japan. That's where she was making her money.
Yep.
So I was barely in America before she shipped me out to Japan for 3 months.
Okay. On that point, what do you think it is? Okay. What do you think it is about the women's wrestling and wrestling in Japan that the Japanese seem to so much get into? They're very passionate about it.
Because they're very hard. There's no holds barred, no pun intended.
Yes.
You know, they have no problem hurting you. They do a lot of power moves. And also their wrestling style is a little bit like the Mexican style. It's very fast.
Yes.
They don't like hold on the ground for more than a few seconds. They're like, you know, bouncing all over the ring all the time.
I understand. So what's some of the great people that you're currently working with, like acting as a mentor and a trainer and an advisor?
I'm not working with too many. A lot of the people who I work with now are new kids just learning.
Okay.
You know, I work with Steel Kittens out of L.A. a lot with Belinda.
Yes.
And I train a lot of her girls so they can actually do the matches, which is more my focus now than actually professional because, you know, there's not enough money in it to make it worth going somewhere to do it.
Yes, so would that be part of the reason, like a lot of great professional wrestlers, you've diverted into other areas as well? Obviously, there's a very close tie-in with entertainment, but you're also involved in many sports and health matters, like spirituality, as well as you're doing TV commercials and that kind of thing. How did that all come about?
Mainly once, you know, the wrestling started drying up here, I was already been in a few movies as myself, you know, with the wrestling, and then, you know, once the wrestling started to fade, I liked the acting, so I started studying it. And then I started writing the movies, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm shopping a couple of movies and doing, you know, some acting and stuff like that, getting that off the ground.
Yes. All right, excellent. So what does a typical day involve for you these days?
Well, right now I've just moved to New Mexico.
Yes.
And I kind of live, I'm living up on top of the mountain actually right now. And I'm just basically focusing on writing.
Yes.
I've got a script that I'm writing that I'm hoping to film back home in Australia because it's about an Australian.
Yep.
And shopping my other one. And then from then I'm going to start just pushing them out there and focusing. But I got so kind of run down in LA because it's such a hard place to be.
Yes.
But I basically figured I'd pull my horns in for a while and just take it easy up here.
Fantastic. And if I understand correctly, Australians are still pretty popular over there. They call us Flavour of the Month. Is it still that way?
Yeah, I think they're pretty popular. I mean, there's a lot more Aussies on TV. I mean, I wouldn't know half of them have got American accents.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's probably an American who'll tell me someone's an Australian.
Yes.
Which is a little upsetting for me. But, yeah, I mean, I just think we're not so much a novelty anymore. We're actually becoming a recognised force.
Yes.
You know, and it's not such a surprise now that so-and-so who's so good in that show is Australian. It kind of goes with the territory, which is good.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, the bar's been raised. You've got people in smash hit movies, regardless of how controversial they are. You've got Mel Gibson and all sorts of other people, so there's no secret about Australia. And then you've got Harvey Crumpet down in New Zealand, so we're sort of in the news.
Well, yeah, but you still get the thing in LA. If you go into Australia, into an agent with Australian accent, the first thing they ask is if you can talk without it. You know, so they don't want you. It's odd, you know, they want you because you're Australian, but don't talk like one.
Yeah, right, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's a little frustrating because it's like a lot of the roles, you can have an accent, but Americans are just comfortable with people that sound like themselves.
Yes, well, I'm dealing with a filmmaker here in Australia at the moment, Gary Young. He actually did Cozy Cool and Wheels on Fire, and Gary does have an Australian accent, and he utilises it. He actually did Tall Tales from the Outback, Stories of the Outback Bush, because the traditional Australians are, of course, a dying breed, and, you know, we can talk about the a snake on the barbecue or, you know, the Aboriginals and all that stuff coming over. So real Tall Tales from the Outback, actually utilising the Australian thing to our advantage.
Right, and I think that's okay. I think it just comes down when you're an American show, then they're not as open.
Yes.
But, you know, more people with accents are turning up, you know, but I just know from doing the industry there, it's like they wouldn't even try to push you if you had an Australian accent.
Yes. So tell me, back to your current projects, you're helping out a couple of the wrestlers and those books. What's the titles of those books and projects you've got on, Sue?
The script that I'm shopping right now is called Plushie is Everybody's Hero. The Australian one's called True to Your Own.
Yes.
I've got a book out there that's with publishers right now called You're Wiser Than You Think. It's a spiritual book.
Yes.
And like I said, I work with Steel Kittens, and, you know, Belinda gets new kids in, and they just need to know how to do moves and not hurt themselves.
Yes. So that's definitely part of it. All right, well, what we'll do is we'll continue to liaise with you. What we'll do, so we'll wrap up this official interview shortly, but we'll just keep talking for a couple of minutes if we can. That's a wrap. We'll wrap it up, but then we'll actually talk after. So that was Sue Sexton from the United States. We wish you well with the projects as we move the project forward to do a documentary on Australian professional wrestling, and we'll see you again shortly. Bye for now.